Just for the final touches for our purposes on the sugya of Eish, through two different lenses. First, we spent a lot of time last week looking at Rabbi Yochanan Ishim Shafitzo. We spent a little bit of time already yesterday looking at Eish through the eyes of Reish Lachish and Ishim Shimamono. And now we're almost kind of combine the two together and see that sometimes there's a little bit of an overlap between the two, and we get a whole new picture of Eish that may emerge from the combination of the two. So a lot of this next event discussion, most of the next event discussion, is going to revolve around this pivotal Gemara Daf of Gimel and Aleph, which we just touched upon the very end of Shia yesterday, where Abai and Rava throw a curveball question in the direction of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who told us, Yishma Shem Chitza, it's Apostle Chumash, Marvis Abeira, according to some Rishon, it meant even outside of the Nezikin, according to Rishon, limited to the Nezikin, but within the Nezikin, for sure, Yishma Shem Chitza. So, Frekt Abai, Frekt Rava Kasha, Amar Rava Kasha, the Abai, how can there be a case? There's a p'tur of Tomin Be'esh. Everybody agree, I mean, I shouldn't say everybody, there's one known Tana review that happens to disagree with the p'tur of Tomin Be'esh, but everybody else subscribes to the exemption of Tomin Be'esh, if the item is hidden, covered up, so there's no Chiyuv Be'esh. In fact, the Gemara, according to Yochanan, how does that make any sense? So the implication of the Gemara is obvious, that according to Reish Lakish, that makes all the sense in the world, that we can totally live with such a concept called Tom Be'esh. But according to Yochanan, we have a lot of problems. And we have a lot of problems with, why should that be so? What is so wrong with telling me that Tom Be'esh is potter? Why is that so somehow fly in the face of Rabbi Yochanan and Shita? So Rashi on the spot had an interesting comment. Rashi writes two lines from the top of Chagim HaMadal, Hechmash Kavazla. If you really believe, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that Eish b'shem chitza, he's subscribing to the chitz model, so then you have to be true to the model. I never say if I shoot an arrow and it goes through the damage of something, if the item that was damaged happened to have been covered up, I would be potter. And that's crazy, says Rashi. That's nuts. Nobody ever says such a thing. And why is that so nuts? Anything goes. We said a lot of interesting things over the year. Anything goes. So why is that so crazy? Gosh, as it can be. Kaimlan by Pirkin, Petza Tachas Potza, L'chayv Eshashay Kemezid, Yeniske Ratzayn. Rashi says that to say that it's a chayv, it's potter and tumen is absurd, because after all, there's a gzeres hakos of L'chayv Eshashay Kemezid, it's Yeniske Ratzayn. And Adam HaMazik is chayv all the time. And Adam HaMazik is chayv on Oynes, is chayv on Shegeg. There are no limitations whatsoever to Adam HaMazik. Now, truth to be told, there may be a certain limitation, but we call Onus Gomer, that hopefully we're going to talk about that in weeks and shiurim to come. But putting aside that, which may or may not even be true, the general rule, the starting point, the baseline of Adam HaMazik is Adam is Mu'ud La'olam, is Chayv Afilu Ba'oynes. And therefore, since it's true that Adam is Chayv Ba'oynes, therefore it's inconceivable that Tomon Be'eish should be Potter. Ad Kan Divrei Rashi. That's Taishi the Gemara's question. So if you just read the Rashi, at first glance, there's a piece missing in this question. Somehow the Gemara saw that licked within the din of Adam Mu'ad La'olam, somehow this results, don't put it as an error, no, this results in Tamun has to be Chayiv. There's no way that these two statements, that this statement cannot result in this statement. And to tell me that Adam Mu'ad La'olam, and to tell me Isha B'Shem Chitza, and to tell me there's a P'tur Tamun, it doesn't make any sense. What's the missing piece in the puzzle, according to Rashi? This arrow is far from Muskab. What's the problem? The Chayr Rashi, I can say it. I have to say it just for the purpose of learning, but everyone understands, is almost guilty of what? Rashi just made a true statement, Adam Mu'ad La'olam. It's 100% true. I'm not arguing. It's a Mishnah. True, but what? It's irrelevant. What does that have to do with Tamun? Adam Mu'ad La'olam, and Tamun is still what? Potter. What does Adam Mu'ad La'olam mean? Adam Mu'ad La'olam means Bein B'Tamun, Bein B'Golam. What does Adam Mu'ad La'olam mean? It means Bein B'Shoigeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Oynes, Bein B'Ratzai. Adam Mu'ad La'olam is defining that normally you need a certain degree of kavana for things to happen. So I would have argued, if not for the gzeres hakos, lulav gzeres hakos of petza tachas potza, l'chayv ala oynes kiratza, and I would have said, oynes, you potter, oynes, shayyeh, you didn't mean it, you're not such a bad guy, not chayv to pay. So when the Rebbe Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbein petza tachas potza, He explained to him on Har Sinai, why am I giving you this pasuk? Petzatach is pasuk. I know already. Petzah. What's the difference? Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, yad tachas yad. Petzatach is pasuk. What do I need? It's a rush completely superfluous. So Lichten Tershim Abba Petzatach is pasuk is coming to teach us l'chayev al einus keratzon shegi kemezit, etc. So that tells me that when there's a lack of kavanas ha'adam, I'm still chayev to pay. What in the world does that indicate to me about whether I'm chayev on Toman or not? It could be if I shoot an arrow and the arrow is mazik, a bag full of something, and the item that got damaged was not visible, I'm talking potter. And therefore, by extension, if I light a fire and it burns down your field and there was something, there was a $100 bill inside the crops, I'm potter. Why is that a stira? Why is Adamud le'oilim, maybe she'ev and maze, maybe anis, that's a stira to the Torah Toman? So this is not my kasha. Rishayim, what do Rishayim miss this kasha? And to make the kasha even stronger, l'chora, we could begin to give a little bit of an answer, but that answer itself is going to make the kasha perhaps even more powerful. So what do you see from Rashi? Pashtun, we just read this Rashi. Who here read this Rashi today? What do you think, Pshat? Did anyone realize the kasha? What do you see from Rashi? Is that Mintundo? What do you have to say from Rashi? The Rashi is learning that what? What does Lord? But the Ptua Tomer is not just stop because that Xeris across the Bialma. Not just stop the Velt the Rhyme. Kach Nemra Lochmash Sina Ptua Tomer and don't ask getting cashers. The Ptua Tomer is a certain subcategory. It's licked in. It's a quasi kind of anus. It's basically the equivalent of anus. And it makes a lot of sense. How in the world was I supposed to know that there's a $1,000 bill hidden inside your cornfield? The fact that I was careless and I didn't watch my flames and my barbecue got out of control and burnt down your corn. I'm standing there looking at your cornfield. It's 30 feet away. I see the wind. I heard the weather forecast. They said it's going to be a breezy day today. So common sense dictated that I should have watched not to make sure that your corn doesn't get burnt up. So I was negligent. I was pashaya vis-a-vis the corn. Good. But vis-a-vis the $1,000, b'hechatesa, how did I know? How did I know there's $1,000 there? So when the Torah says Talmud is potter, what the Torah is basically highlighting is that vis-a-vis the Talmud, they don't really have the kavanah samazik, so to speak. You don't have the pshia samazik. You don't have that built-in shmir samazik. So if that's the nature of the Torah of Talmud, then Rashi makes a lot of sense. And Rashi's saying, so that taka doesn't make any sense. If you're going to tell me that the Torah of Talmud licked in the kavanah sagavra, it's not a din in the chavtza ha-nizak, that there's no nezak from Eish on Dabba Tamun, but rather every case of Tamun is a chisar, is felt in the Kavanah Sagavra, is a chisar in the Kavanah Sagavra. So a chisar in the Kavanah Sagavra, but other mudli oimam. If the guy's sleeping, he's also chayav. The guy's a shaggy, he's also chayav. So it doesn't make any sense. There should be a Torah Tamun. So l'chora, you have to say that that's what Rashi held. So what do you think about this?
Well, I can't say that the third comment is just the Torah saying that when other mazik takes the form of Eish, then even though it's your chayv and most often, it's considered possibly a couple in this form.
So you're basically arguing on the very premise of what the kasha was. You're saying it's not going to exist. Okay, let's tone down from there. Okay. So we may be able to answer both of those questions. The Rashi's right. So basically what the Gemara is telling us is that when there's a Ptur Ones, then there's a Ptur Tamun. And when there's no Ptur Ones, then there's no Ptur Tamun. That's pretty much what the equation is. If you can tell me that the Ptur Tamun does not exist across the Bialma, but it's really a subcategory of Ones, so then it should be governed by, is there Ptur Ones? Or is it no Ptur Ones? If yes, there is a Ptur Ones, then we can understand a Ptur Tamun, if not. Is that true? What's the status of other Mazikin? Is there a Ptur Ones on other Mazikin? Is there a Ptur Ones for Boar? Absolutely. Is there a Ptur Ones for Shore? Absolutely. We spoke about this already. Gemara says on Nafchav Gimel, there's Ptur Onus or not on many, many cases. If there's a real Ptur Onus and other Mazikin, what should carry through? What should carry over? There should be a Ptur Tomin on what? On all of the Mazikin. Is that true? Not true. Hilchai say it, there's only Ptur Tomin by Eish. So come to Rishon and ask in Rashi, the mere fact that the Torah only gives us a Ptur Tomin by Eish, that's the greatest proof that Ptur Tomin has nothing to do with Onus. The Ptur Tomin is a special quirk in Hilchos Keish. The same way that the Ptur Talim is a quirk in Hilchos Bor, and the Ptur Shein Beregel is a quirk in Hilchos Shein Beregel, each one of the Mazikin has a quirk. That's what the Gemara says, Nafei, Hilchos Sein. Each one has its unique set of circumstances to exempt it. So once you're forced to say that the Ptur Tomin is clearly not a result of a lack of Kavana or a yes Kavana, no Kavana, it is clearly Eish oriented, then Hadu Kushal Nukta. So why do we have a problem? If you tell me the Ptur Tomin is exerced across the, so then what's the problem? Tomin Fatur Rahman al Hech Mishkachasla. I'll tell you why Mishkachasla, because it's exerced across the. So the only way to make sense of the Gemara's Kash is to tell me that it's part of the parish of Oynes, part of the parish of Oynes, so then there should always be a Ptur Tomin, if there's a Ptur Onus, which is clearly not the case. So the Chorek and the Rash, we have to say as follows. That we overdid it a little bit, we over-dramatized a little bit. We did not mean to say that Talmud is mamish onus. Because of some who asked the question before. If Talmud is really truly onus, then what's the kasha? Why do you need what? What do you need pasuk for? Why couldn't I lamali cross far? Why couldn't I figure it out on my own? So the answer is I never would have figured it out on my own. Talmud is not really an onus. Ella what? La'acha shegilsa ha-tayra that there's a p'tur of Talmud. So what do we say? The nature of the Ptur of Tomin is the Torah is mechadish to us that the standards of onus are changing a little bit for Eish. So we're not understanding Tomin as stam exists across the Biyama. That's not correct. We're not understanding Tomin as absolute 100% equal to onus. That's also not true. That's mamish guilty of overkill. What we're saying is it's a combination of the two. Namely, every Islam would have been that Tomin is chayav. That's the starting point that all mazikin based on is chayav. But every once in a while, the Torah tells us Tobin's potter. Every once in a while, one time, one place. But Eish, the Torah says Tobin's potter. So now that we have the Xerxes Kosov, Tobin's potter, so we analyze the Xerxes Kosov and say, well, what's the nature of Xerxes Kosov? Is it just a Xerxes Kosov Bialma? It's a quirk, a Ptur Bialma. Don't ask any kashas. What do I say? No, it's not a quirk, it's not a Ptur Bialma, but rather, it's a Chiddush HaTorah that the standards for Onus change in Uchas Eish. So Rashi is clearly learning the second. That the la'acha shegilsa teira, the Ptur of Tomun, now that we're viewing Tomun through the eyes of a new definition of Oynes, so that's the Gemara's posing a question. The Gemara's saying, wait a second, but that can't be. How are you talking? How could that be? After all, by Adam HaMazik, that would make no sense, because Petzah Tachas Potzah. And if Rabbi Yechon really truly is right, he really truly believes that Isha Mishem Chitzav, so Eish is basically like an Adam HaMazik, if Eish is an Adam HaMazik, so Ptur of Tomun, Hechem Hashkachas Lom. So there are three different ways of understanding what the nature of Ptur Tomin is. Either Ptur Tomin is exerced across the Biyama, don't ask any kashas. Or it's just plain and simple ones. And neither of those two pshat marayt, says Rashi. The correct pshat is, it's exerced across of, but the nature of exerced across of is that this level, this degree of ones is sufficient to path you by Eish, and that kind of exerced across of would not be applicable of Isha Mishim Chitza. That's Rashi's pshat. That's quite a pshat. I mean, that's a really, really lovely pshat. Bayev really, really had a lot in mind when they asked that kash. So comes Tyson and says they don't believe the whole pshat is right. They don't believe that Rashi's whole mahalach is right. Comes Tyson and says, Pirish. Top Tyson, Chav Gimel Mel. Pirish. Did I put that on my Makamas? No, I didn't put it on? Did I put Tyson on? Did I put this Gemara on the Makamas? Pirish lama lamandi yama isha mishim amon. No. Ein tema diptua tamun. Tyson says that there was never a dream of anybody that Tomin is anything more or less than Xerxes Kosov. It's not even a shaila that Tomin is Xerxes Kosov. It's a quirk, it's a ptur, it doesn't make any sense. Kachanim halacha, echkabav yirchaikim many, I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense. We would never figure in secular law, they'd laugh you out of court for the ptur Tomin. But as I state in Helikach Torah, Kedosh Ayakwama Lamait, Liftor Satomu. If it's such a Gzeres HaKosav, why couldn't the Gemara fathom that it exists by Adam HaMazik? You know why? Because we don't have precedent for Gzeres HaKosav by Adam HaMazik. There's no such animal, no such entity called Gzeres HaKosav Liftor by Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik was never, ever, ever subject to any limitations. Niskei Momin is subject to limitations. Bor Potter Basakelim. Sherin Viregel Potter Bishis Seraphim. Niskei Momin, we're already used to this idea of having quirks and having Gzeres HaKosav. We can live with that, we can survive. But Adam HaMazik, Petzatachas Potza teaches us that there's nothing to talk about. Don't pull out of your hat no Gzeres HaKosav. It can't be. It's inconceivable the Torah would have given us Gzeres HaKosav to the Pater Adam HaMazik. And therefore, Amarava, Kasha Leli Abaye, Tamin, the Pater Chaman, Hech Mishkachas La. If Rabbi Yechon is really right that there's that Isha Mishim Chitzo, it's basically like an Adam HaMazik, so to speak, so then how is it to a Tom? So notice how Rashi and Tosfos both use the same pasuk petzatach potza to disprove the possibility of a ptur tamen according to Rabbi Yochanan, but they're using it in radically different reasons, radically different ways. According to Rashi, the Gemara is using petzatach potza as the reason, as the understanding that since there's a chiyuv of ones and tamen is based on a degree of ones. Therefore, Petzatach HaSpatzah is an outright stira to Ptur Tamun. According to Tosfos, Petzatach HaSpatzah is not a stira to a Ptur Tamun. It's not the reason why it's inconceivable Ptur Tamun. What is a Petzatach HaSpatzah? Not a Siba, what a what? It's a Simun. It's a Simun to how the Torah views Adam HaMazik. From the fact that the Torah comes down so hard in Adam HaMazik, Chayv L'Shei, Kemezer, things that are inconceivable, that indicates to us that the mindset of the Torah about Adam HaMazik is that they're no pterim, they're no exemptions. So Rashi learned that Petzatach HaSpatzah is the Sibas Adover. It's the fact that there's a din that Adam is Chayv Oines, that is the reason why the Ptur Tamun cannot exist. According to Tosfos, that's not the reason. According to Tosfos, that's the Raya, that's the proof that Adam HaMazik is different, that there are no pterim by Adam HaMazik, and therefore it's inconceivable this should be the one pterim by Adam HaMazik. So in order to dust settles, Abaye and Rav had a gvaldik kasha, and now Rabbi Yechon's on the defense. So what was Rabbi Yechon's answer? So comes the Gemara and says, kasha le the Abaye, I'm a Rav, kasha le Abaye. V'madiyam e'ishim shimchit, t'tam b'eish t'tadar chumana hechash kachaza. V'nicha le, and Abaye gave the terence. K'yon she'nofla d'leika l'oisei chotzer, v'nofla goder sh'loi machmas d'leika, v'holcha v'dlika v'zika b'chotzer acheres. Took three lines of the Gemara to describe the case. Get the arson expert, get the whole fire department team down here trying to figure out what happened. Took the Gemara three lines to tell you what the story was. And here's the halachic punchline. So the firemen are telling you the whole story. So you got these big guys, you know, with their, you know, the hats and the big boots and the coats. You know, they're not giving you any lumdish, but they're telling you tachos. They're describing, writing up the report that the Leica fell to the backyard, and then there was a fence, and the fence fell down for other reasons, and the whole story. And finally, the Gemara gives you the punchline in Lomdis, the Hasam Kololei Chitzav. So the Gemara uses three words to describe the arson report. Kololei Chitzav. What did the Gemara just say? Vamed v'mamurim te'isha mishim chitzav. When there's a direct line between the shooting of the arrow and the nezik. That's exactly the model of isha mishim chitzav. I'm standing here, my live Omer outing, take my bow and arrow, they still do that? We used to, right? Bows and arrows. In Brooklyn, there's no place to shoot bows and arrows. Okay, I grew up in Riverdale. Bows and arrows. Used to go on the Chalag Ba'omer trips. Okay, the meaning was it rained. It rained on the regular day. It rained on the makeup day. It rained on the makeup of the makeup day. It seemed to rain every single day from Chalag Ba'omer until Rosh Hashanah. So we shot the arrow, and the arrow went. What in the world? Bows and arrows. Anything with Chalag Ba'omer? We shot the bow and arrow, and the arrow goes. And the minute that I let go that arrow, there's a clear path, nothing in its way, travels 100 feet, boom, rips through somebody's shirt. That's chetz. I'm going to say everything. I'm having my barbecue, my fire. There's a clear path. The fire is going. Now, fire consumes things in its path, but that's okay. Anything that the fire consumes in its path, that's a clear path of the fire. So the fire goes and starts burning down my property. And then there's a wooden fence there, so the fire goes right through the fence. That's still okay. That's still the arrow going. It's a very, very strong arrow. So the fire is going through the fence and eventually goes to your cornfield, burns up your stuff. That's Isha Mishum Chitzav. But the Gemara says, what if there was something blocking the path of the fire? So now, I shot the arrow, so to speak, I lit the fire, having my barbecue, the fire's going, and there's a metal wall there. The metal, how in the world is the fire going to get past the metal? It's not. What's the teretz? At that same moment in time, what happened? The metal wall wasn't such a strong wall. Before the fire gets, all of a sudden, lo and behold, the wall falls, comes tumbling down. Not because of the heat of the fire, the fire. And then the fire has nothing to block it, it keeps on going, and it burns up your cornfield. Can you say with a straight face that the destruction of your cornfield is my chetz? What's the answer everybody say? Can't say that. You know why? What's that called? Three magic words? Kol chitzav. That's not isha mishum chitzav anymore. That's it, finished. There's no longer isha mishum chitzav. Good, Baruch Hashem. Once it's no longer isha mishum chitzav, then everything is great. Why is everything great? Now I can answer the question that they asked in Rabbi Yechanan. Haley Gamer Rabbi Meir Rav challenged Rabbi Yechanan. How can you tell me that you're potter for tamun? It's chetz, and chetz is out of a mazik, and there's no ptur in front of a mazik. Rashi and Tosis. The Gemara says you're right. It's not out of a mazik because it's kol lachitzav, and therefore b'chi agavra. Rabbi Yechanan would never ever say such a thing. He would never ever say that's called ishur chetzav. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says ihochi inyan goli nami kol lachitzav. You're just guilty of what? Overkill. So why are you chayev? Why am I chayev? According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you really believe isha mishum chitzav, and now you just told me that you can't apply the rule of isha mishum chitzav because of the principle called kol chitzav trumps isha mishum chitzav, so then it should trump it vis-a-vis the cornfield also. So I should be put through the cornfield, and that's the problem. We are looking for that lone case in Parshas Mishpatim, oh hakama l'maydes atamun. So we're marav. If it's kol lachitzav, you're part lagamri. If it's lo kol lachitzav, you're chayav lagamri. So what's the answer? You still didn't give me a case where you're chayav for the kama and part for the tamun. So now the Gemara changes the whole story. Ela the Gemara says, l'man de isle mishum chitzav, isle nami mishum amoynoi. L'chigon shahay lo l'godra v'lo godra, l'hosam shoruhu v'lo tofach bi'apei. Comes the Gemara, we can first read the Gemara through the eyes of Rashi. Everyone read the Gemara already? Everyone read it through the eyes of Rashi? Comes Gemara and tells us that we had a little bit too much confidence in Isha Mishum Chitzav. We thought when we're reading Parshas Mishpatim, there's only one Parsha of Eish. We have to read Parshas Mishpatim like a brisker. There are two didim. There are two Parshas of Eish and Parshas Mishpatim. There's the Parsha of Eish of Isha Mishum Chitzav. True, that Parsha does exist. But there's another parish of Eish in between the lines called Isha Mishum Amono. How do you know which is which? How do you know when to apply the parish of Isha Mishum Chita to apply the parish of Isha Mishum Amono? The answer is very simple. What's the key word? Three key words. What are the key words? Kol Chitzav. If it's not Kol Chitzav, if it's a direct line of contact from the beginning of the fire to the damage site, so that's Isha Mishum Chitza. With all the chumras of Isha Mishum Chitza, namely you're an Adam Mazik, and what else? What other din applies? Before you even get to Talabarim, what else applies? Mechayv and Tamun. Because Tamun the Padre Chumar Hechem Shkachas Lo. It's inconceivable any other way. So in a case where Isha Mishum Chitza kicks in Ochinami, there's no Ptur of Tamun. Aye, there's a Ptur of Tamun in the Chumash. Ptur of Tam. Sochamayas Kidon. The second din of Eish. The second din of Eish is what? Is when it's kol chitzav, I'm still chayev. Now you're scratching your head and say, but why am I chayev? For what am I chayev for? What's the answer? That's not isha mishum chitzav, that's isha mishum what? Shema monah. But that's Rish Lakish. What's the answer? Rabbi Yechon also buys into Rish Lakish. Of course the Torah is talking about isha mishum amon. Avada Eish is part of Niski Mamon. Avada Eish is the same as the Shor HaMazik. There's no question about it. Just as if my shore is running around and I see all of a sudden that the fence fell down, I can't close my eyes and say, well, I didn't knock the fence down, not my problem. I better go build another fence quickly before the shore gets out. So the same way I have no excuse to say that I don't have to prevent my shore from going out, I have no excuse to say I don't have to prevent my mom from going out. I do have to prevent my mom from going out. My ish is my mom. So everyone agrees that Reish Lakish is right. When Rabbi Yechon Mishlokish had a machloikis, Isha Mishum Chitza Shum Amoinoi, it wasn't it's either or. It wasn't Mishlokish that it's only this and not that, or Rabbi Yechon said it's only that and not this. Reish Lakish said it's only this and not that. Reish Lakish never bought into the idea of his brother, of his Rebbe, of Isha Mishum Chitza. Reish Lakish wasn't Geiris Isha Mishum Chitza. He didn't die Shemar Vesabeira. But when Rabbi Yechon said Isha B'Shebchitza, he never met La'afuke Rish Lakish, he met La'hoisef al Rish Lakish. And you can have cases where sometimes Isha B'Shemamayna and sometimes Isha B'Shebchitza, and the difference is you're going to pay the same money anyway. It's the same $100 you pay, whether it's Chitza B'Mamayna, but Chapin Afkimina for the Ptur of Talmud. But this is like an eye-opener. This is a mind-boggling pshat. And let me ask you a question. According to B'Yechon, Vishtate the parish of Isha B'Shebamayna, where is Isha B'Shebamayna? Where is it between the lines? Give me the in between the lines. V'davisha Mashalem Isha B'Shebamayna, where? I know what you're going to say. Say it, come on, say it. Tell me Isha B'Shebamayna. Look at the Moshe Rabbi Yechon gave. The Moshe was just like a shore. What are you going to say? It's a shore mazik. It's the money to mazik. The Torah doesn't say if my dog goes out and damages, if my cat damages. It says shore, shore. Any of my moment that goes out and damages. My ish is my moment. So you, I know what you're going to say. Okay, you're not saying it. But you should be saying that according to B'Yechanan, Parshas Eitz, Eish, Kisei to Eish is Isha B'Shebchitza, and the din of Isha B'Shebamayna doesn't really appear in that Parsha. It appears back in the beginning of Parsha B'Shebamayna by Yishor HaMazik. That's what you're going to tell me, right? I'm going to laugh at you if you tell me that. Why? Where's the Ptur Tamun? Where did the Torah say Levai Tamun? Where? In the Parsha of Kisei to Eish. V'nechel kama akama l'maydas ha-tamun. So how in the world could the Ptur Tamun appear in the part of Eish that's only Isha B'Shebchitza? Totally, it should have been back on Parsha Shore. So the answer is Rabbi Yechon never meant to say that Isha B'Shemamono finds its roots in Shore. Rabbi Yechon said they're both part of Kisei to Eish. There are two dinim in Kisei to Eish. There's Kisei to Eish be'atzma mashma, even if it's not derech hamavras abeira. And that type of Eish is alluded to in the phrase, the Ptur of Tamun. And then they'll look at the second Eish, that's the Eish of Amavras Abeira, Kosak of Amavir, that's Isha B'Shebchitzav. So there's no question, according to Yechon, both parshas of Eish are the same Psukim, and somehow we figured out, Teshuva figures out, that Ptur of Tamun cannot make any sense, Lagabe Isha B'Shebchitzav part, because that was Abai and Rabbis Kasha, Tamun Be'eish Echem Shkach. So it must be when the Rebbeinu Shem dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu the Ptur of Tamun licked in the Pasuk of Kama, that was only being chal, that Ptur was only being chal, Isha Moshe Mamayna part. That is a razzle-dazzle way of looking at Eish. That is mind-boggling way of looking at Eish. But that's what the Gemara just said. Who here read the Gemara? Who here realized that's what the Gemara just said? Anyone realize that? We just read the Gemara inside together. We just read the words of the Gemara. There are two parshas of Eish, according to B'Yechanan. They both have to be rooted in the Tzei Pesukim. Tamun makes sense for one, does make sense for the other, but Mamish splitting hairs as we read Chumash. So now the Gemara throws Mamish a curveball with this figure. The Gemara says, okay, so once you just told me that Rabbi Yechon also buys into Reish Lakish, he also holds Isha B'Shemamono. K'miyachar demand the Islam Mishim Chitav Islam Mishimamono, my binah. So what's the difference at the end? At the end of the day, you're paying anyway, who cares? What's the Gemara saying? Nafkimin for Arba Devarim, which is another way of saying that Rabbi Yochanan buys into Rish Lakish, but Rish Lakish doesn't what? Doesn't buy into Rabbi Yochanan. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have a fascinating understanding of Eish. You have to look at every case of Eish and ask yourself, is it Yekil Lachitzav or no Kil Lachitzav? If it's Kol Lachitzav, it's only Mamono, and there's a Ptur Taman, and there's no Chir for Dal Devarim. If it's low Kol Lachitzav, then there's no Ptur Taman, and there is a chiv of the Al-Dvarim. And that's how the parasha, that's how the sugya comes to an end, the Dachah Gimel and Aleph, according to Shita's Rashi's reading of this Gemara. Ad Kandidatuk.
Is there
called
pizza by actual case? Like someone
you say they're reading? In theory, there would be a kol chitza. I guess if I shoot an arrow, there's a wall in between, and the wall falls down in between, maybe, right? It would be the same model. It would be so that you may run into other issues of sugyas about the Hasaras of Mineas and other kind of stuff, funny stuff in Masechas and Hedrin that's going to interact. Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to. Yeah.
It's
only on Mamono, only on Isha Mishim Mamono. There's no Ptur Taman on Isha Mishim Chitza.
What would Rish Lakish say?
Rish Lakish would say there's only a Ptur, there is no case of Isha Mishim Chitza.
I would just say exactly the same thing.
Right.
we say that there's a between different Peturim of the Avos, whether they reflect the essential nature of the Av?
Yeah, we spoke about that earlier on. Okay, okay.
How would that
fit into this? I mean, that's a cure from way, way back ago. I don't know. So, but I say, there's something very, very troublesome with this Gemara. Very, very problematic with this Gemara. Anyone learned the six Perek of Bava Kamma? Besides Avon Zev. Anyone learned? Six Perek of Bava Kamma ever? Perek HaKoynes? So the last 3-4 blot of Perek HaKoynes deal with the Dinim of Eish. And 99% of the sugars of Tumah appear there. That's what the Gemara presents. And the Chachamim, and the Gemara talks about the Torah, what's called that? All the details and nuances of Torah Tumah appear there. Mishnayis, not just one. Mishnayis, one Mishnah after another, talking about the Torah of Tumah. And what's very odd, anyone know? When you learn those sugars? The Gemara never, ever bothers to tell us anywhere in the main sugars of Tumah. Now, by the way, everything we're talking about is only talking about the one crazy case where you start the fire and the wall self-destructed before the fire passed. But if the wall didn't self-destruct and it was burnt down by the fire, that's called local. By the way, there's no Torah Tumah. Just a little bit striking. Like somewhere in Perek HaKoynes, you know, not everybody learned the second Perek of Bava Kamma. Some yeshivas start with HaKoynes. So if you only learned HaKoynes and you didn't learn the second Perek, you never would have known that critical piece of information. That's extremely misleading. According to Rashi, that's it. Rashi says no excuse. You can't just learn one Perek and not learn. You have to learn the whole Masechta. No choice. So comes the Rambam. In Halacha Ches. Mamin Halacha Ches. Eitin Mamin Halacha Ches. Eishi Yatzav Yachla Eitzim Ha'avonu Ha'ofer Chayv L'shalim. Shnema Matzah Kaitzim Ha'asad Ha'achla Gadeh Chayetzim Ha'kem Tzimunim. So the Rambam starts to tell you, Tamun, sometimes you are Chayv, sometimes you're not Chayv. But that's not what we want. We want halacha tests. The medivam amun. When is it even the wildest havam and you can be chayef for tamun? The madlik pesach stei chaveiro. If you went to your friend's house and lit a fire in his house, then you chayef for tamun for sure. Why? Why is that? Because that's pretty close to the mamazik. Pretty close. Aval the madlik pesach shelo classic age kaitzim. The guy's running his barbecue on Memorial Day, and the fire gets out. But aval stei chaveiro. Potter al kol hakelim atmunim begodish. You potter legamre hakol mikol kol. Everything and everything you potter on. So the Rambam in Halacha Tes tells you that kisei tzeyesh, as long as you're lit in your own backyard, there's an outright p'tur tamun, which is exactly what I would have said 20 minutes ago. But wait, in the last 20 minutes we learned Bava Kamach of Gilman Aleph, and we came to the realization that p'tur tamun, according to B'yachrech Mishkachas law. And the Gemara had to limit it by saying, you're right, it only applies to that one crazy, wild, nutty scenario of Kol Lachitza. That's the only case that's subject to the Ptur Tamun. How come the Ram doesn't say that? The same kash we just asked on the Mishnayis, and how come the Ram doesn't say that? The Ram is codifying the din of Tamun and never bothered to tell you what the Gemara says on the Gimel and Aleph. So I can see the wheels turning. Maybe someone's going to tell me a Bubamites. I know what your Bubamites is going to tell me. What are you going to tell me? Must be the Rabbi must pass. Like who? Like Rish Lachish. Oh, that must be the answer to the world's problems, right? If the Rabbi held like Rish Lachish, then everything would be hunky-dory. So comes the Rambam in Halacha Tezvav and says, by the way, in case you're interested, Eish over Vizikas Ad V'Chavu Hema V'Chai Ben Zachav V'Shift Ob V'Puy V'Tzar V'Boshak Yil Hizik V'Yadoy. By the way, which is what? Yimashum what? Right out of playbook, right out of Gimel Malach, Ishim Hashem Chitzav. So if you're going to tell me that Bubba Maitzah, forget about it. I'm not interested in hearing it. So we have a steering wheel in the Rambam. The Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yechanan. He says Ishim Hashem Chitzav. He turns around and he says the Ptur Tamun exists all the time. And the Gemara says, Pem Molin, Chag Gimel Malach. That's an impossibility. Tamun, the Potach Manech Meshkach Aslo. So there are two challenges to the Rambam. Okay, as we always say, there are two different challenges. You see a Rambam like this, You have to be scratching your head, a brisker scratching your head. Two times you have to scratch your head. Why? There are two radically different problems with the Rambam. One of the problems, let's conceptualize. One of the two problems, one I just gave away, one of them, in that word. One is a what? There's a textual problem with the Rambam. The Rambam's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that Tamun cannot exist, the Torah Tamun cannot exist without the Isha B'Shem Chitzel. That's it, black and white. The Rambam is against the Gemara Chav Gimel Menachem Bav Kam, no matter what you say. There's a textual problem. And then even if somehow you're going to take the Gemara and somehow cross it out and say the Ram didn't have that line in the Gemara. No, the Ram didn't have 10 lines in the Gemara. The Ram didn't have. I say such a silly thing. The Ram didn't have that line. The Kash is a glaring Kasha. It's a conceptual problem. Talmud, it was a Svaradik Kasha. Abayim Rav had a good Taina. How you talking the Shavdiyab Tur Talmud? You have to address the Rambam textually and conceptually. So the Rishonim, the early Mefarshim, the Rambam in Mishnah, addresses the first half of the Rambam, doesn't really explain to the second half.
I don't understand the question. Didn't we say that we don't hold the issue of Mishum Chitzov? That Rabbi Yochanan changed his answer? He sold Mishum Chitzov and Mishum Lamona?
But the only time that there's a Ptur of Talmud is only when it's pure Mamono. If it's Chitzov, it's Takan Optur Talmud. That's what the Gemara said. The Rabbi Yochanan holds a combination. Rabbi Yochanan says sometimes it's Mishum Chitzah, sometimes Mishum Mamono. When it's Chitzah, there's no Ptur Tamun. Mamono there is. But the Rambam quotes the Ptur Tamun across the board. The Rambam doesn't just say Hachamai Eskin and Kala Chitzah. So the Magid Mishnah is only worried on the textual angle. And you know what the Magid Mishnah says? That the Rambam was bothered with Ar Ha'ara on the Sugya. Namely, it's a Pella on Rabbi Dan Nasi. It's a Pella on the Braises. It's a Pella on the Amoraim in the second half of Perek HaKaynes that nobody bothered to tell us this piece of information. That which on Chav Gimel Menal was Halach Basim Chayk Vila Yavor Bayin Rav is Shtark HaKash that turned the world upside down on Chav Gimel. Nobody bothered to indicate it even bothered them in Perek HaKaynes. The Rambam must have held that it's a Machlokes HaSugyas. The Rambam is stomach held that Abai and Rava were bothered with this kasha on Chav Gimel, but we pashed this hasugyas throughout Bava Kama, and nobody else seemed to be bothered with that kasha. And to turn around and say all the Mishnayos in Bava Kama that talk about Ptur Tamun are all talking about Kol Chitzav is so unlikely, so far-fetched to say that. Therefore, the Magen Mishnah says to Dasa Rambam, the Efsha Shadayte Zal, She'ein Laniach Pshat Mishnayos Ve'Braises Ve'Amemris. Basically, half the parak and the sixth parak. Shlochul b'tam ne'asugyahi. Everybody was not as bothered as Abayin Rava were. That's it. They weren't as bothered as Abayin Rava were. And therefore, mustam those machlokes as sugyas, and the Gemara Chav Gimel said what it said, but we're not gayris, not literally not gayris, we're not misyachis to it lemaisa. And therefore, we follow the pashas as sugyas in parak kainis, and the Ptur Tamun applies across the board. Ben kol chitz, ben lo kol chitzav. And Rabbi Yochanan is not Islay the Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan does not buy into Rish Lakish at all. Rabbi Yochanan sticks to his guns, Isha's Mishum Chitzav, and doesn't matter, there's still a Ptur Tamun. Isn't it a conceptual question? Didn't we say it's such an earth-shattering, powerful question? What did the sixth Pekha Baba Kama do with that bomb Kasha of Abayin Rava? I mean, Benin, don't get too excited about this Kasha. It took us the first 20 minutes of Shia to explain what in the world the Kasha was. What did Abayin Rav even want? Right? Rashi gave a pshat, Tosis thought the pshat was wrong. Tosis gave a pshat, Rashi thought Tosis pshat was wrong. So we're not even sure what the Kasha was. I mean, we worked hard on it because we had to do Abayin Rav justice. So we came up with some razzle-dazzle beer. It's a chisarna this, a chisarna that. We threw a couple of brisket terminology and called it a day. So I convinced you, I brainwashed you, it was a great Kasha. But between you and me, the Rambam says, come on, do me a favor. Nobody else thought this was such a great kasha, such an earth-shattering kasha, to turn Perek HaKadosh on its head because of this kasha, to turn Parshas Mishpatim around upside down because of this kasha. The kashas, no one ever dies from a kasha. The emesis, Ptur Tamun, that's its exercise. Cost of it applies across the board, Ish Rishon Chitzav, that doesn't matter. The whole kasha, Kush Mikar Lesa, and Shol Masur move on. And that's what the Magen Mishnah says, ultimately, is the Shittas Rambam. So the Magen Mishnah addresses the textual issue. We could touch up the conceptual issue and we move on. And basically, we'll take Bava Kama Chav Gimel, with a grain of salt. Abayin Rav said it, and they were Hail Gabarim, so it's good that we spend time learning what they said, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. That's one approach to the Sugi. That's Magen Mishnah's approach to the Sugi. But then, almost in passing, like, he's like, Barames. Rabbi Mishnah says, maybe there's another way out of this dilemma. And Rabbi Mishnah very cryptically says, V'ulai, Sh'Rabbeinu Zal Mefarshe B'Panim Acheres. Maybe the Rambam did not ignore Baba Kamach of Gimel, but had a radically different way of reading Baba Kamach of Gimel. The Gemara in Chav Gimel and Baba Kamach did not say what Rashi said it said. Now the Baba Mishnah doesn't reveal what he had up in his mind. What was the Farshu Rupan Mecheres? What is another possible way of explaining this Gemara? You want to figure it out? You want to figure out the secret? It's like a hard loaf of dolls, like you're stuck in that. What's that? That room, you go into the room, you lock yourself in.
Escape
the room. Okay, so you're in this main, this locked room. You got to find a clue here, a clue here. I got to get. My kids slept me there in the Cholomoy Pesach. Cholomoy Tzuch is something I would have wasted a half hour of Teshuva getting to do to late. But in the Cholomoy Pesach, it was simple yontif. I went for a half hour.
Did you guys get out?
What?
Get out?
Yeah, when the guy opened the door for us, we got out. Otherwise, I'd still be there. So, trying to figure out what. Okay. There were some Shilas in the room. I walked into the room and said, right, it was a Shiloh. One of the clues had to do with something that was a Chashashma of Erizara. So I thought, we can't use that clue. Can't use that clue. It's also about no. Can't get out of the room. Okay. How do you get out of this room, Rabbi Yisrael? How do you get out of this mess? According to the Rambam, what's pshat? What is going on, Chav Gimel Min Aleph? Anyone figure it out?
You can say the combination of Mamon and Shul Kisa. You can say the real source is Mamon, but the teaching Shemamono, but nonetheless, there's still something
current. Okay, so you're starting the answer. So the Hillel Goyin, the Gra, Mamish Baruch Kotchai, look at this Gemara and said, this is not the Pshat. We say Pshat, Rashi said Pshat, it's not the Pshat anymore. I remember I once heard from Rabbi Avram Osborne, Shlita, Shiva tells. He said that different people in history have Talmudsim kind of cowards and who knows what, where what, this that rabbi, this Talmudsim, that Talmudsim says the Gra was about Talmudsim also. So the Gra's Talmudsim were kulam novim, every kayak that the Gra had to unlock the mysteries of everything came from one thing and one thing alone, that he spent his Yemim Valayla's entire life just reading the Gemara, just mamish reading Torah and Rishayim and figuring out the mysteries and figuring out what was going on. Mamish had kol kaychaysav, but from no magic, there was no kunzim, no yichudim, no tge. It was mamish I'm sitting and learning Torah Kadesha Yemim Valayla. The Gra entered into new worlds. So the Gra took a look at this Gemara and he said there's a word that's extra in this Gemara. If you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara says that it creates a case. It has the kasha, whatever the kasha Rashi says. Then the Gemara gives a funny case. Remember the fire department's case they wrote up? That's kolov chitzov. Then the Gemara asks the kasha, yachalin and gili nami kolov chitzov. And then the Gemara comes up with the terrors. Right? So according to Rashi, did the case change in the final case of the Gemara? Did anything really change in the end of the Gemara? No. The case is the same, Kol Achitzav, and the Gemara is just explaining that, by the way, Kol Achitzav is the case where Yechai Mishim Ramon and not Mishim Chitzav. But nothing has changed. That fire department report is still there. Says the Gemara, there's a problem with this trap. What's the problem? What's the word? Ella. Ella in Chazal always means a total, complete reversal. Ella means what we said until now has just been rejected. Ella don't say what I just said, Ella, but rather, what Ella means, but rather this is the Pshat. According to the Gra, when the Gemara says Ella, the Gemara is retracting from that entire case. That whole shtickle Torah of Kol Ochitza was so unbelievable in the first place, it's not believable because it's not true. That is wrong. The fire department report was wrong. Throw it out. That's not what we're talking about. What are we talking about? Plain and simple ish. The same nincompoop lit a barbecue, the same guy for the 20th time, he's having his barbecue, and the fire gets out of control. Burns down what? What does it burn down? Burns down what kind of fence? His wooden fence. It's very much lo kol ochitza. The fire goes and everything, and there's still going to be a p'tur of tamun. Unlike Rashi, who said, No. The p'tur of tamun is only limited to that case, and that's the case of Isha B'Shemamayinai. The Gra says, no, that's not true. Ella means we got the wrong, the case we just created was incorrect. It didn't exist. It was a figment of our imagination. Ella means go back to what you thought all along, to your sparishah, to your baseline. Aish is aish. Fence went down because of the fire, and there's still a p'tur of tamun. We just got finished saying tamun. How could tamun be potter? What's the answer? Says the Gra, what the answer to the Gemara is not the crazy case, but the answer to the Gemara is you misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan said. When Rabbi Yochanan said isha mishum chitzav, he didn't mean isha mishum chitzav. What did he mean? What did he mean? Is Isha really truly Adam Amazik? Is Isha really truly like a Zerikas Achetz? No. It's not Kochach Murabai. It's not. You know what Isha Mishum Chitzav means, says the Gra? Catch this one. It means Isha Mishum Amonai. What? It means Isha Mishum Amonai. So what are the words? Who was Rabbi Yochanan kidding when he said Isha Mishum Chitzav? What Isha Mishum Chitzav means is, notwithstanding the fact that in its heart and soul, Isha is Mishum Amonai, and Rish Lakish is right, the Torah throws at you several chumras, even though it's Mamono, the Torah throws at you, in the case of Aish, certain chumras that are usually identified with Adam Amazik, the Torah takes those chumras and slaps them on you as well, even though it's Isha Mishum Amono. The Gezeris HaKos of HaMavri, HaKos of Kav HaMavri, does not mean that Isha Mishum Chitzo is your other Mamazik. You're not another Mamazik. It's Mamayna Shehizik, and Aish is no more nor less than any other Mamazik. It's a Chiddush HaTorah that even though it's Mamayna Shemazik, you're going to get slapped. Ke'ilu, you're an Adam Hamazik. It's Mamayna Shemazik. Ke'ilu, Isha Mishum Chitzo. To which at that point, once the Gemara just said that, then the Gemara raises a very simple question. Lamai Nafkamina. Which is exactly the Gemara's next question. Lamai Nafkamina. What's the Gemara's answer? Now, what is that slap case? What is the case that Torah slaps you with? Arba Dvarim. That's the Nafkamina. That you're not really Isha Mishum Chitzo. You're not another Mamadik. But L'chaiv will be Arba Dvarim. We're going to treat you like another Mamadik vis-a-vis the Chivra of Dal Dvarim. And that's the Gezeris HaKos of Mavri Sabeira. But in the heart of souls, what are you? You're Isha Mishum Amoinoi. And if you're Isha Mishum Amoinoi, then what P'tur now makes perfect sense? Tamun Be'esh makes perfect sense. It's Isha Mishum Amoinai. Why can't Mamono have Pturim? Bor has Pturim. Shevrech has Pturim. Why should Esh be any different? Esh is its unique Pturim. The Ptur of Tamun. Once the dust settles, the Ptur of Tamun applies to what kind of Esh? Any Esh. Kol Chitzav. There's no such thing. That was an artificial distinction that got lost in the word Ella. Once the Gemara retracts and says Ella, that whole distinction between different kinds of Aishas doesn't exist anymore. It's history. No pun intended. What up in smoke? All those distinctions are gone. The only thing that matters is the conclusion of the Gemara that Isha Mishum Chitzav doesn't really mean Isha Mishum Chitzav. It means Isha Mishum Amono, but Afa Pichein, we're going to treat you like the Chiyuvim of Chitzav. Wow, what a pshat. Rabbi Say, I want you to explain to me one word, three-letter word in the Gemara, Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rambam. Let's go back to this Gemara again. El Lamandi Islam Mishum Chitzav, Isle nami mishum amono. What does nami mean? Nami means also. The word also has a very, very different connotation, the Rashi or the Rambam. According to Rashi, what does nami mean? That in addition to the case of isha mishum chitzo, there is also a distinct, separate case of isha mishum amono. Nami is the word that's telling me there are two kinds of ishas, according to Rashi. There's kolo chitzo, and there's no kolo chitzo. So the word nami is qualifying ish, according to Rashi. According to the Rambam, what does isle nami mishum amono mean? It's Rabbi Yochanan is also holding like Rish Lakish. It's not telling me there are two parshas of ish. The word nami has a totally different connotation. It means Rabbi Yochanan, who you thought before was an isha mishum chitzav, he's not. Isle nami mishum amono. Nami doesn't mean that there are two ishas. There's one ish, and the one ish is the same as Rish Lakish's ish was. Radically different one. So the groin, the halakha groin, Beruach Kodesh, saw this pshat in the Rambam, licked in the word Ella. What word sticks out like a sore thumb according to this pshat? There's one word in the Gemara that doesn't fit according to this pshat. What? Nami, we just said Nami works great. Read again. Elamand isle mishum chitzav isle mishum amono. Ugon shahayla la godra velo godra. The hasam sharu velo tafach biyape. According to Rashi, this is the description of isha mishum amono. The mashal the Gemara is giving about the shor, that's ish number two. That's ish of mamon. According to the Rambam, what is the mashal about the shor? There is no ish number two. There is only ish number one. It's only ish mishum amono. So what is that mashal? That is the description of isha mishum amono. According to Rashi, this is a description of one of the types of ish. And according to the Rambam, this is a description of the only kind of ish. What word doesn't fit? To read the Gemara. This is what the Grod did all day. He sat and read the Gemara. Kigon doesn't fit. Kigon sticks out like a sore thumb. What does kigon mean? Kigon means there are multiple things. Kigon, this is like this. Kigon is giving, is limiting and saying this is a case. Kigon, hachavamayaskinon, this is what happened. According to Rashi, it reads like a charm. In this case, when he should have been Golder and wasn't Golder, that's the case of Ish Mishum Amono, that's the second case of Ish. According to the Rambam, what should the Gemara have said? Elamanda Islam Mishum Chit of Islam Mishum Amono. What should have been the next word? What should be the next word in the Gemara? Look at the Gemara. Elamanda Islam Mishum Chit of Islam Mishum Amono. What should have been the next word? Shehayolo. It should have just been described. This is Eish. Eish is Mamon Shahaya Lola Godra. It shouldn't have said Kigon. Do you know what the Halakha Gra says on that? In the Bir HaGra? In Chayshim Mishpah, you know what he says? You know what the Gra says? That word Kigon doesn't exist. Shh. The Rambam didn't have that word Kigon. There's no such word in the Gemara. Rashi had the word kigon. Rashi's girsa was the word kigon. You have the word kigon, then you talk about Meshub, you're wedded, you're married to Rashi's pshat. Says the Gra, he strongly suspects that the word kigon doesn't exist. It's a reflection of Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, but it's not the emes of pshat. It's not the girsa, the correct girsa in the Gemara. Look what the Halakha Gra did. The Gra made his hope shot dependent upon the word Ella, and his hope shot is dependent upon the fact that the word Kigon isn't there. Now there's a long Bi'a Gra in Chesh Mishpat that just spells out everything that I just said. I had Rachmanus on everybody. So I gave you the Tamtzis, a Tamtzis, a Tamtzis, a Dram Tipim and a Yam. That's the Gra on the side of the Gemara. They quoted a half a line. The Gra paraphrases what he said. I put it on the Gosa Gra on the bottom. Elaman. Haritha Rambam Mefarshim Shechazim Eteretz Rishon Kigon Shenafla V'chulei But Mefarshim Dechi Av Chitzu Mishum Amoinoi. And if you're interested, I'm Bi'a Gra Simen Tav Yerches. You'll see the rest of the story. Who thinks this is absolute sheer genius, this Gra's pshat? Explains everything. Who's going to bring the biggest raya to the truth of the gross pshat? The Rambam is befeirish, like what the gross says. Look at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam, he's screaming out from the pages, in between the lines, he's saying it. In between the lines, in the lines, he's saying it. Ninth in Rambam Kaimis, Bregid Allah Tezvav. Aisha Avra Vizika Sa'ad Bechavlaba Ramavi Chai Ben Zaka Beshifta Berfui Betzar Vasha Kilo Izika Biyadai. Isham Shem Chitzav, right? And now the Rambam becomes apologetic. What's Rambam? Sha'afam. What's Rambam apologetic for? He's quoting Rabbi Yechiel. You don't have to apologize for quoting Rabbi Yechiel. It's exactly what's a maver, Isham Shem Chitzav. You can sense the uneasiness in the Rambam. You can sense within the words of the Rambam how the Rambam is struggling with the state of Rabbi Yechiel. That's the next Sha'afalpi. What does Afalpi mean? What I said is true even though. If I say to you, what I'm telling you is true even though, what can you sense when I say even though? That I'm uncomfortable with what I just said. There's something that's bothering me what I said, and I'm going to pull it over you anyway. I'm going to pull the wool over your eyes anyway. I'm going to explain to you what I said is true even though it shouldn't really be true. So when the Rambam felt compelled to put in the word Sha'afalpi, you have to read a Rishon, you have to read a Rambam. Why was the Rambam bothered? Why was he have to explain himself? What do he have to apologize for? I'll tell you why. Sha'afalpi Isha Mamonehu. Because we all know in the heart of hearts that Isha is Mamono. Who knows that? I didn't know that. I thought Rabbi Yechiel was right. So why is the Rambam quoting Rabbi Shlokish here? So the answer is obvious. Because even Rabbi Yechiel, Islay, what's the magic three letters? Islay what? Nami, the Rabbi Shlokish. Because of course Rabbi Shlokish is right. So now the Rambam, in the Afalpi, is apologizing for what he just said. He has no choice, the Gemara said it. And he's explaining how he pulled this off. Sha'af al pi sha'isha mishumamainai. Ishumamainahu. Harehu. And now the Rambam puts the magic letter. What's the magic letter? Ki, the Chof HaDimyon. What does Chof HaDimyon always mean? It's not really equal. It's ki. Hayo ki misha hizik b'chetziyai. Anybody not wait for 6 hours after eating meat? They just wait 5.5 hours? Why? Because what does the Rambam say? Kishe shows. So anyone who's making like that, got to be medayak in this Rambam. You can medayak this Rambam even if you don't win. Hayo kim misha hizik b'chetzio. Two heads. Ad kandi v'ram. So Rabbi Saib and all the dosados, Nekesiyim of the sugi of Isha Mishim Chitz, Isha Mishim Amoinon, we saw Isha Mishim Chitz in its own world, that was last week, Isha Mishim Amoinon in its own world, and now we see the intersection, interfaith between Isha Mishim Chitz and Isha, right, like some, you know, like some seminar about this, the interface and interplay between the two universes of Isha Mishim. So according to Rashi, the interface and interplay, whatever it's called, is that they're both true. And according to the Rambam, no. In the end of the day, only Mamayu is true. And Isha Mishim Chitz means much less than we thought it meant. So I'll share with you a fascinating potential application. Not really the mice, just an interesting application of some of the things we've been talking about. So this past Shabbos, it was in Teaneck, there was a very choshev Adam Gadol who was in Teaneck for Shabbos, a descendant of, you know, the Avnei Nezer, Sakachava, descendant of the Avnei Nezer, the Eglei Tal, the Haladova. We live with a Shabbos, think we quoted one or two Eglei Tals. So I heard the Eglei Tal's great, great, great much. Ben Achaben for the Eglei Tal was in town. He got him on top upon him. Truth, I didn't know what to expect, you know. So I arranged the person who I was staying, who he was staying by, so he got me in to see the Rebbe, Sakhachev Rebbe. So someone who was there right before was one of the guys who comes to my shir and Bnei Shir in the mornings. I wouldn't have told the Rebbe this, but he said to the Rebbe, this is Rebbe Stolovsky, he says a shir in Vavakama early morning. So the Rebbe asked me, what am I saying shir on? When his God led the we spent talking for 20 minutes. It was a pleasure to talk to him. Mamish, a pleasure. Really holding him. Mamish, Ruyim to be the Ben Menachem Ben of the Eglei Tal. Mamish, man, Adam Golan mind. So we were talking and learning a little bit. And we were talking about Isha Mishim Chitzah. That was on my mind because last week, Isha Mishim Man, Isha Chitzah, we talked a little bit about Nuch Yosef. We spoke about, then he told me the secret. He said to me on his mother's side, he's from the Beis Halevi. He said he's from, he has brisket blood in him also. So he told me that. That's off the record. Adam Gala on all sides. So Eglei Tal was hollowed up. Eglei Tal was able to hold his own. So I didn't mean that at all disrespectfully. Anyway, so we're talking, learning a little bit of Isha Mishim Chitzah. And then he told me the famous, it's a famous word, but he told me a new connection of what I never heard. There's a famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Tainis. The Gemara quotes and machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and everybody else when the right day of Tisha B'Av is supposed to be. So we know historically the Beis Hamikdash was the beginning of the fire was set later in the day on the 9th of Av, and then most of the Beis Hamikdash burned throughout the 10th of Av. That's why we have a minig to observe quasi avelus for a good portion of the 10th day because zecha to that. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan didn't live in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Amoyer, lived 100 years later. Rabbi Yochanan says, if I would have been there, I would have said we should observe Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av, not on the 9th of Av. On the 10th of Av, because that's when Rove of the Beis Hamikdash was burnt. And everybody else said, no, we disagree, and that's what the Psak was given in the days of the Churban, that we followed the 9th of Av. Why? The Tchilus for Anus Adifa, you know, that's when the fire started, and that's it. Adka. So do you follow when the Rove of the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, or do you follow when the Tchilus HaShreifa was? So already, this is already an old Tchil Torah. So they say, oh, this is related to what? To the Mukha Yosef. What did Mukha Yosef say about Eish? Who remembers Ishim Shem Chitza, Mukha Yosef, the Kasha, how could you bench Lech on Friday afternoon, right? Ishim Shem Chitza was like an ongoing fire. So what's the answer? So what's the Mukha Yosef's Yosef? So it goes back to the beginning, right? Ishim Shem Chitza never meant to say that it's ongoing, Lagamre. It means that it's ongoing Lagamre, but then it's Nisyachas Lemafreya back to the Shasad Loka. So they say, that's why we fast Tisha B'Av for the 9th of Av, because it's Tchilas Peronis. You go back to the very, very beginning. You go back to the 9th. So when the fire was lit, when the Beis Hamikdash burnt on the 10th, the Gloy Muslim Afreya really burnt on the 9th. Ishim Shem Chitza, what's the kasha? Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one who says, if I would have been there, I would have said it's on the 10th. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that? Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that Ishim Chitza, he should have gone back to Lim Afreya. That's the kasha. So again, you can answer that kasha in multiple, many, many, many ways. You can go down the route that the Sharan, Ishim Shem Chitza doesn't apply outside of Nezikin. That would be one possibility. No impact on Huchas Tisha B'Av. It doesn't apply to when you fast. According to this Rambam in the Gra, you can also answer and say that at the end of the day, the whole Nebuchadnezzar's kasha was an incorrect kasha. The kasha was only got started if you really believe that Ishim Shem Chitza literally meant it. According to Rabbi Yochanan's, the revamping of Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Yechon also has Ishim Shem Amono, then maybe the Mukha Yosef never would have asked the kasha in the first place. And so there are a lot of ways that no one's gonna plot from this kasha. But this chaf never said that. According to Rashi, there are two kinds of Eish. There's Kolo Chitzov and there's Lo Kolo Chitzov. So let's say when I shoot an arrow, right? When I shoot an arrow, so an arrow by definition is lokal chitza. Why? Because I can't stop the arrow. Once I let go of that arrow, there's a clear path. It's going to go, and it's going to do the damage. So an arrow, the model of an arrow, is always aim lecha, clear path, go the mizeh. Why? Because as the Gemara says in Ksubas, when you shoot an arrow, you can't retrieve, you can't stop an arrow. Let's just shoot out of the sky with a missile or something. You can't stop the arrow. But what if you could stop the arrow? What if you had somehow that unbelievable magical ability to stop an arrow in mid-flight? You could send a radar signal and stop the arrow. So then that arrow would be almost like Kolo Chitzov. There's only one being that can stop an arrow in mid-flight. What does the pasuk say? Chitzaya chalabam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is zeri chetz u'machzirai. The Baruch Hu could shoot an arrow and stop it. Dead in its track. It could stop. Turn the arrow around. Boomerang. All of a sudden, stops mid-flight. Who burnt down the Beis HaMikdash? Titas burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. Who burnt down the Beis HaMikdash? Ki ato Hashem ba'eish yitzata. Rabbanu Shlom burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. He used these the Rishoyim Gemurim to be his shlichim, but the Rebbeinu Shlom was the one who was machir the Beis Hamikdash. Say in the dam ki ata Hashem the eishi tzat ve ata osa levnoisa. So when the Rebbeinu Shlom lights a fire, in a given moment he could stop it. He could have stopped the Churban right smack in the middle just because it started to light. He could have stopped it moment's notice. So the Rebbeinu Shlom's fire is a gather of, if you want to put a brisket touch on the Rebbeinu Shlom's fire, it's a fire of what? Of Kol HaChitzav. When it's Kol HaChitzav, what does Rashi say? That's not Isha Mishum Chitzav anymore. That's Isha Mishum Mamono. Then Rabbi Yosef only said that it goes backwards l'mafreya on ishim mishim chitza, ishim mishim amonim, when the damage happens. That's when the damage happens. That's exactly what Rabbi Yechin said. Rabbi Yechin said, if I would have been there, even me, Mr. Believer, the ultimate believer, ishim mishim chitza, I would have been mind over here because ato Hashem beishitzata, because you Rebbeinu Shalom did it. It's a different parish of Eish, the second of Eish. I was floored by it was knowing the person who said it has a mixture of egletal and brisk. This is like the most brisk guitar I've ever heard in a Hasidic Shavuot. That's the one you can't get more fascinating than this. But just one last akuda, not relating to this chikotera. According to this Gra, that when all the dust settles, what does the Rambam not believe in? That there are no two kinds of Eish anymore. There's no such thing called Luchitzav according to the Rambam. That doesn't register anymore. Rashi learned there was a concept of called Luchitzav L'maskana. The Rambam held away in the Havmina, but when all the dust settles, there's no such thing as called Luchitzav anymore. All Eish is the same according to the Rambam. Right? No? According to the Rambam, all Eish is the same. What great, great, great Torah mind did not say that B'das HaRambam? Chaim. What did Chaim say, B'das HaRambam? Remember the Rambam? Why when the stuff goes up and comes down, why aren't you Chayev? Why isn't it the same as Avanos HaKinim Aso? What did Chaim say? Chaim said, "Agamar Dav Gimel." When the Gemara says "Avodas Kibas So," that's Agamar. That's what we're learning. Why are we talking about this? Because of Gimel and Beis and Bava Kama, right? The Gemara called Avodas Kibas So a told of Eish. If Chaim had a big breakthrough, which Eish is it a told of? It's a told of the Mammon Ishim Shemamoyne, not an Ishim Shemchitzav. And if Chaim said the B'das HaRambam, according to the Gra, that cannot be the Pshat in the Rambam. It is impossible because the Rambam himself never bought into Yishuv Shabbat Moin as a second category. So that Shtikl Torah in Reb Chaim, that Torah that the Reb Chaim said that we spoke last week is not in sync with this going. These two Mahalachim, the Biagros Pshad and the Rambam Chav Gimel and the Reb Chaim Shran, that Rambam Nuch Shechenim cannot survive together. What could be the answer to that dilemma in the Rambam? Why not Chaim Misa? What's the answer? Because if you really truly hold that Isha's Mishim Amonos, you're not Chaim Misa for that. Which would put us back into the Chiddush Iran and the Mechas Chinuch back from where we were our last time. So that last Nekuda, that Reb Chaim from last week and this going from this week cannot coincide together. Okay, wait a second. So, Damir here, it's running a little late. So, Mehat Hashem, we're on the Chazara schedule now. Okay, so we get an email put to about the next one.